Thank you, Jesus, that we get to be in your house and we get to be with your people and be encouraged. I hope that we're an encouragement to one another. Help us to love one another with your full love and to also invite others into your kingdom that we're so glad, God, that you care. No matter who we are or what we've done, you still care and you're reaching into hearts. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we can be a part of that ministry that you're doing. Your holy name, Jesus, we're so glad that we get to pray. Amen. Today's message comes from Ephesians. I won't be able to say that too many more weeks in a row. Coming close to the end. Tychicus, dear faithful encourager. I'm going to talk today about Tychicus. How many of you have spent a lot of time studying Tychicus? Okay. One of Paul's posse. He kind of hung out with Paul a lot. He was sent out by Paul a number of times to go to different places and to do things, to bring gifts or messages to various different churches. And he probably was a pretty tough guy because some of the roads back then were dangerous, and he and some of his buddies would go together taking a large gift from one location to another or bringing a message to a community that needed to hear the word of God and find out how Paul was doing. And so Paul really trusted this Tychicus guy. When he calls him a dear friend, he calls him a faithful servant. He talks about him being an encourager. It sounds like they were pretty close. Tychicus wasn't one of the guys that would get up and do a lot of preaching, and he wasn't out planting churches, and he wasn't writing the epistles that ended up in scripture. I don't know if he was even literate. I don't know if he could read or write or anything. I assume he could. But he was going with these letters that Paul wrote to different churches. The church of Ephesus would have been one of them, but all the other Asian churches around there in the area of Turkey, he's going to different places. And so it's kind of interesting to study this little gentleman. Probably was a big strapping dude, you know, kind of like Mark. He's probably riding a motorcycle around and he could get where he needed to go. Sometimes he's east of the mountains visiting Bob and Arondo, and sometimes he's up on Kamano Island visiting with Bill or somebody. You know, he finds his way to get around, and Tychicus was one of these guys that he pops up. If you read through the book of Acts, he actually shows up a couple times. So it's important to see and to understand. Today's passage on page 1,789 and 1,790. This is a really long passage today. Two pages. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. It's interesting. Paul is a prisoner at this point, and Tychicus has been hanging out with him, but Tychicus isn't a prisoner. He's there voluntarily serving Paul while Paul's chained to a Roman soldier. And when Tychicus is sent, part of what he needs to do when he gets to these various different churches is to explain to them what's going on in Paul's life. How is Paul doing? People are probably discouraged. It's like, their pastor friend Paul he's been arrested. He's going to be tried. He may die. And how's he doing? Is everything okay? Well, Tychicus gets to go and encourage people about how Paul's doing and explain really what's happening. And while Paul was imprisoned, he's actually ministering to the Roman soldiers, and they're getting saved, and then they get switched off, and some others would get saved, and then there were a number of people in the Roman army that started being followers of Jesus, and they're thinking that Paul's imprisoned, and it's like, no, God doesn't keep me in chains, even though I've got chains on. It's like his message continues to go out. And so there's this encouraging message that Tychicus gets to bring with this letter. In Acts chapter 20, maybe we should all turn there if you've got your Bibles, because I only put verse 4 up, but there's some other verses around it. Acts 20. We're on page 1698 in the Pew Bible. Verse 4 says, he was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. It's interesting that this letter to the Ephesians or to the other churches, it's to the followers of Jesus, was in a number of the churches in Asia. So Tychicus is actually going back to his people. He's going back to people in an area where he used to live. Trophimus as well. But if you look at the verses just prior to that, it's kind of, this was Paul's pattern. He'd go into a city, he'd get himself in a lot of trouble, and he'd have to go and hide out and leave. And when the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through that area, speaking many words. He talked a lot. Except they were words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. Because some Jews had plotted against him just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by, so this is his little posse that comes together here, Sopater, we mentioned all those, and Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, who we read about quite often, and then Tychicus and Trophimus. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas, but we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. So he's got this process going on. He had a group of people that was traveling with him. Sometimes they'd go ahead and prepare a place for him. Sometimes they would, you know, go with him. Sometimes they'd go off in different directions. But there was a group of people ministering. It wasn't just Paul. I think we sometimes think Paul's doing all this stuff by himself. That's not how God designed the church. We all kind of work together. It's not one person. It's all of y'all. So there's Paul's posse. Colossians chapter 4 is kind of a similar repeat of what we have in Ephesians. So if you want to find that in your few Bibles. Colossians 4 is going to be on page 1801. And then starting in verse 7 and go through first half of verse 10. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Again, the church in Colossae is probably worried too about Paul. It's like, you know, okay, we heard that he was arrested. We heard that the Romans have got him and they're bringing him up on some false charges and they really want to dig into him and we know they killed Jesus. They're probably going to kill Paul too. And they're worried. And so Paul sends Tychicus out to say, hey, share some good news. Encourage the brethren and sisters. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. So there's another guy that's going with Tychicus, Onesimus, another part of Paul's posse there. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, remember him in the posse list? He's also a prisoner. Aristarchus and Gaius ended up getting arrested. There's a number of them that get arrested with Paul, and some of them get released and some don't. And, you know, it's kind of, I don't know if this is a guy you'd want to hang out with. It seemed like everywhere you go, there's going to be trouble. And yet, people were pretty faithful because he was faithful to God and they understood what he was doing, why he was doing it, so they would be there with him. And then they would get sent out to spread the message and to encourage others. So my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And then he'll go on to say in Colossians there that if Mark happens to come and visit you, would you accept him and let him in? Well, why would he have to say that? Well, Paul and Mark had a problem previously. And so, you know how sometimes people think, oh, he's not one of us because they had a disagreement. They made up and they were okay later. All right, you can disagree with fellow Christians and then realize that there's a bond that's stronger than whatever was going to separate you that can unite you. And so you're united in Christ. And John Mark was kind of a young guy that decided to go off on his own and do something that Paul didn't understand. Barnabas went with him. That was Mark's cousin. And you know, Paul and Barnabas had kind of been ministering together, and then Barnabas goes and branches out with John Mark. Well, they ended up starting some churches too and doing some ministry. And Paul realizes, you know what, God's message is being proclaimed, and it's not about me. And I think Paul was maturing as he went through his life. And a lot of these people that are following along with him, they weren't followers of Paul. They were followers of Jesus with Paul. They were in Christ. And that's a kind of an important distinction. I'm not going to go to prison just because I want to follow along with some guy. But if I'm in Christ and I end up in prison, you know, that's like, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul could say that. Aristarchus could say that. Gaius, some of the others. That there's this concept that if we're in Christ, it doesn't matter what the outside circumstances are. Anyway. So today's text, Tychicus, dear brother, faithful servant, he's going to tell everybody all about Paul, how he's doing, what he's doing, how he's doing. He's going to encourage them. And I wanted to just, it's like, okay, if you spent time with Paul, how are you going to encourage people? Because if someone spent a lot of time with you, okay, and then you were their Tychicus, you were supposed to go out and encourage others and tell them how this person was doing. What kind of person is it? It's like, okay, Tychicus is going to share how Paul's doing. Part of what Paul's doing while he's in prison is he's writing epistles to a number of other churches. He's writing letters to individuals. He's redeeming the time. He's making the best of a situation. He was kind of in lockdown, but it didn't stop him. He was able to continue finding ways to minister throughout the known world at the time. Even though he was confined in space and time, he was still spreading the gospel, spreading the word. And that's an encouragement. And so when you think about it, you know, Tychicus had a difficult job in some ways. It's like, I'm going to go and try to encourage people about this guy that's chained to a Roman soldier and he's been arrested and we don't know what the outcome's going to be. He could die. All right. That doesn't sound very encouraging. And yet, he's watching Paul and listening to Paul and understanding the life that Paul's leading. And it's like, yeah, this is encouraging. God's bigger than whatever circumstances are around him. So what I want to do is just share some encouraging scripture that Paul wrote. And it's by no means exhaustive. This is just a quick sampling of some of the encouragement that Paul wrote to various different people and churches. For example, in 2 Timothy, he's writing to young pastor Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, the Spirit of God, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. It's like, you want to be encouraged, Timothy? You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be timid. You don't have to hold back. God's going to give you power. He's going to give you love for the brethren and then self-discipline so you know how to use that properly. In Philippians, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This is an encouraging scripture that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. It's like, yeah, there's some times where things are bad and things are good, but I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. The one that gives me strength is God. My circumstances don't give me strength. Whether I'm in chains or in front of a large crowd preaching doesn't give me strength. What gives me strength is God. I can do everything through him. To the Romans, he wrote, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, you know, you want to be encouraged? God's going to give you power. And there's a hope that you can have that brings joy and peace, and it fills you to that point that you're overflowing. in Thessalonians. The church in Thessalonica got a couple of letters that we know of, probably some others from Paul. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, it's like it doesn't matter whether we die or whether we continue to live, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And so these are some of the encouraging words that Paul would send to various different churches. And he's like, okay, we don't know what the circumstances are going to bring. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. I could die. Some others have died. There's people that we know that have died, right? Except they're not dead. When God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's the God of the living. So people that we know that have gone on before us, they're still alive somewhere. And we can be encouraged, and we can encourage one another and build each other up. And apparently the Thessalonians were doing that with one another, and Paul's encouraging them that they're encouraging each other. Back to Ephesians again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We can build each other up. There's things we should share with one another and maybe things we shouldn't share with one another. Or how you share it. You can say, yeah, Paul's in prison, but God's still on the throne. Somebody can tell you that you know, things are terrible, and it's like, yeah, but the sun's shining, God's alive, God's good, it's all going to work out for your good, it's going to be fine. This too will pass, all of that kind of stuff. There's ways to encourage one another, even as you're going through the trials and tribulations and storms and difficulties. Back to Romans. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. If you're lacking in hope, if you're struggling, go back to scripture. Go back to God's word. Find out, okay, what did God do when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown into the fiery furnace? He didn't keep them out of the fiery furnace. That would have been my prayer. Lord, help me stay away from that fiery furnace. But they got thrown in there, and God was with them. The Lord was with them, and that's encouraging. That gives you hope. When Daniel got chucked into the lion's den, for sure that would have been the end of him, because those lions were hungry. And yet, there was hope. God was with them. So, as you look at Scripture, you think even, you know, all the different prophets, and some of them were told, go and talk to these people, and they're not going to listen to you. But if you don't talk to them, then their sin's on you. Oh, okay. But they go and they speak God's truth, and they give words of hope and words of truth. And most of the time, they didn't listen, but sometimes they did. You've got Jonah. He's told to go to Nineveh. Preach the word. Tell them that they're all going to die. Jonah's like, yeah, I could do that, but I know, God, that they're going to repent, and then you're going to forgive them, and I don't like that because I don't like them. And so, but Jonah does go and speak, and they repent. And God spares them for a time until they start turning against him again. And so you look through scripture, and it's like, okay, I can trust that when vengeance is necessary, God knows how to dish it out. He knows how to handle making things right. When somebody needs grace, when someone needs mercy, God knows how to handle that. I want to be on the grace and mercy side. He's slow to anger. Help us not to speed his anger up with our actions, with our thoughts, with our deeds, our words. But everything that's written in Scripture should bring you hope, should bring you encouragement. If you're struggling and you need some encouragement, all of the things in Scripture should bring you back to positive encouragement, which Paul's just reminding them. It's like, you guys already have a collection of writings that will bring you hope, that can bring you encouragement. Go there, read that stuff. Back to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and hope, may that God, that beautiful, perfect God, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. It's like, yeah, why do we need encouragement? Because we're going to be living a life of deeds and words. Are they going to be good deeds and words, or are they going to be words of death, words of hope, words of life, or words of discouragement? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I love Romans 8. If you get a chance to read through Romans, there's a section where Paul's like almost sounding like he's going to be discouraged. Oh, the things I want to do, I don't do them, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing that, and I can't even get anything right, and what a wicked, terrible person I am. Who's going to redeem me? Oh, well, that's right, Jesus. And then you get to that part that we're more than conquerors. He's given us everything. That there's nothing that can separate us. God's pretty good. He's going to work it all out. And he works everything out. Even the things that look like they're going to be bad, he turns them to good. When Jesus goes to the cross and it looks like, oh, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. And then he raises himself, gets out of the grave. And it's like, oh, this is the best thing that could ever happen. We can be encouraged from Scripture to know that God can take the hard times, the difficult times, the trials, the tribulations, and he's going to make those times into good. There's nothing that we go through or this nation goes through that can't be turned to good. That should be encouragement. Philippians again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Earlier in Philippians, Paul says to the church in Philippi, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Tychicus is hanging out with this guy that's writing all these letters, these prison epistles. You know, a lot of these, Timothy, Philippians, Colossians, those are written while he's in prison. And he's sharing with the world that God is good and God can be your encourager. And if you're not sure where to get encouragement, go to Scriptures. And by the way, Holy Spirit's going to guide you and be with you. And God's going to complete the work that he started in you. If you know that God started a work in you, don't think you have to finish that in your own strength. Don't even try that. That's not going to work. In 1 Corinthians, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, there's some encouragement. Yeah, we're going to face trials. We're going to face temptations. But it's never going to be more than you can handle with God's provision. It's going to be more than we can handle if we try to do it in our own strength. But he's going to provide a way so that we can endure. Also, the church in Corinth, they got this word of encouragement. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Why would you do that? It sounds like a lot of work. Sounds difficult. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If we're trying to do things in our own strength, it's probably going to be done in vain. And we can get really weary. But Scripture talks about not growing weary and doing good. Why? Well, because what you're doing for the kingdom is not going to be in vain. It's going to have a positive outcome. You can trust that words that you speak, deeds that you present to those people around you that are watching, are going to be able to lift their spirits, bring them to a place closer to Christ. And so our labor, if we're working as unto the Lord, if we're in the Lord, it's not going to be in vain. It's going to be labor that's well worthwhile. You ever feel really good after a good hard day's work? It's like, wow, I accomplished something. We want to accomplish things in the kingdom. Again, in Corinthians, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Sounds like a lot of commands. And without Christ, that would be, okay, yeah, thanks very much. You do it. But in Christ, we can be strong. We can endure. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, or your all troubles too. All our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So we look at today's text, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant. How would you like it? You're spending time with somebody that's written half of the New Testament, basically, and he describes you as a dear brother. He describes you as a faithful servant in the Lord. And he trusts you with sending a message out. He trusts you with people that he loves. And he's saying, this guy, Tychicus, he'll tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Tychicus the encourager, the dear brother, the faithful friend. I feel blessed. I feel like there's a lot of Tychicuses in this congregation. I think there's quite a few people that I could trust. It's like, okay, I can't get to so-and-so's house, but could you go tell them? And you would. And you could, and you would be an encouragement. And if you take the courage that you can have from God, you can be an encourager. And we can be known as a congregation full of Tychicuses. And just be out there spreading the positive news that God is on the throne. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter how bad you think things are going to get. God's still in charge. He's still in control. And he can make all things work out for good. Thank you, Lord.